Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, January 24th. I'm Alan Chartok. President Trump has had his bouts with the media during his campaign, to say the least, and the contentious relationship is continuing. We'll discuss how the Trump administration is dealing with the media so far. Morgan Hook, a former spokesman for New York Governors David Paterson and Elliot Spitzer, is in the studio for the discussion. We want to hear from you, of course. What are your thoughts about the Trump administration's attitude towards the media? Will it improve? Is the media treating President Donald Trump differently than his predecessors? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. Your calls and emails all coming right up after the news. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. So far, the press briefings of the Trump administration have been rather combative. White House Secretary Sean Spicer this week laid out what he called the media's default negative narrative. He said that attitude is demoralizing since Spicer earlier went to bat against reports on the crowd size of President Trump's inauguration, saying reporters purposely published photos indicating a smaller crowd than President Obama's inauguration. Spicer also told reporters that the administration can sometimes disagree with the facts, but never intends to lie to the media. Then they went out and lied to the media. To help us tackle the issue of the president and President Trump and the media is Morgan Hook, a great friend of WAMC's, a former television journalist who served as communications director for the New York Governors David Paterson and Elliot Spitzer. Hook also oversaw communications for SUNY schools. Morgan, welcome to the Vox Pop.
Thank you, Alan, for having me.
Yeah. What do you do when you're Sean Spicer? Who runs who? Is it your job when you've done this with governors and others to tell them how to behave, or do they sort of tell you what they're going to do and the heck with you?
Well, yeah. The president is the boss. In my case, the governor was the boss. In my case, the chancellor was the boss. And you're there to help them deliver a message. Now, I think you also have an obligation to live up to the reputation of the institution that you're speaking on behalf of. So it wasn't that I was a spokesperson for David Paterson. I was a spokesperson for the governor's office. And I think you have to take that seriously. When you're a spokesperson for the White House, there is, I think, an added level of respecting the office. And part of that means that you don't lie. And as a spokesperson, it is central to your reputation, central to the trust that you have with reporters, that you're not lying to them. And I think what is so alarming about what we saw this week is that if the press secretary is capable on his very first time walking to that podium of lying about something that is so easily provably false, crowd size, how many people rode the metro that day in D.C., we can see it with our own eyes. People put pictures up one next to each other to show here's the crowd size from noon in 2009 2012 when President Obama was sworn in. And here's the crowd size at noon on January 20th when Donald Trump was sworn in. Look for yourself. Those are the crowds. That is an easily provable lie. And it destroys credibility. And I think the bigger thing is it makes you wonder about what else they're going to lie about.
Well, strategically, though, the press secretary or you can give some ideas. Now, I remember David Paterson one time, who appeared, of course, as you remember here. But I remember one time he got a hold of, as soon as he got inaugurated after Elliot Spitzer left, he brought the press guys in and he said, okay, we all know that, these are some of the things that I'm going to be called on. And he talked about maybe being, a bit of a womanizer and a partier and the rest of it. Did you tell him to do that?
No. I was, at that time, I was a pretty low-level low-level staffer at that point who had been with the Spitzer administration for about 6 weeks. Yeah. And I was a spectator in that press conference as much as the massive amount of media in there. He had his advisors who I think that they knew that these stories were out there. I mean, in a lot of ways, though, what you just described is the exact opposite of what we saw from Sean Spicer. It was David Patterson trying to go out there and tell the truth, trying right. to say this stuff is out there and it's going to come out. I'm going to come out and tell you in advance so that we can put those questions to rest.
Of course, they didn't.
Well, that was the idea anyway.
So we have people calling 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to David in Munson, Mass. All right. David, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Well, we're okay. Go ahead. What do you got? Bring it.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about how Trump feels like he's unfairly treated by the media. And how he feels like he's getting covered too much. And it seems, you know, how are you getting mad at the media for doing their job? Because, one, people want to know about what Trump's doing. And, two, since he's, you know, it's his first days, of course he'd be covered by the media. They're just being responsible and doing their job. Like, I don't understand where he can say that he's being treated unfairly. I mean, he loved getting all the free media attention when he was trying to get elected, but now that he's the president, they should just stop paying attention to him.
Okay, Morgan Hook.
It's an interesting thing. I think every administration feels the same way about this. I know that we felt that way when we were working with David Patterson. Why is that we're getting such unfair coverage? I get the sense that the Bill de Blasio people feel that way. It's sort of the constant refrain that you hear from press offices. Why isn't the media covering us the way we want them to is effectively what it means. And I think sometimes it's true. You know, it's sort of like we're doing XYZ important things. Why is that not getting covered? Why is this sort of ancillary, secondary thing getting more attention by the media than the thing that we want covered?
So I think how much of it, Morgan, is a matter of the stinkers? I mean, in other words, the cast of characters changes. There have been stinkers here who every governor has hated without naming names. You're lucky if you don't have that particular persona there.
Yeah, for sure. And we definitely had some stinkers of our own. There are people who, to put it in another way, there are people who sort of set the agenda when you have...
Leaders of the herd.
Yes, the herd of media. Yes. And that's definitely the case, I think. I find it to be less the case in the LCA these days. There is no... Today, I don't think that there is any singular sort of lead reporter who other people take their guidance from. I think
my point exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we all know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, and there's nobody who's filled that void, which is, I think, a good thing. I think that the difference here, to the caller's point, I think the difference here is that it's not clear to me what is unfair about what the coverage has been for Donald Trump so far, because they operate under a completely different set of rules. They operate with no rules at all. And so...
Yeah, but when Sean Spicer got up there the other day, as David points out here, you know, he didn't march up there on his own. In fact, I saw Chris Capostasi, otherwise known as Chris Jensen, saying the other day that people liked him. Mm-hmm. But he got sent up there by Trump, said, get up there and tell the lie.
And we know that there are other elected officials out there who demand that their press flacks go out there and say things that otherwise their press flacks might not say.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing is people want to know about Trump. Trump's the hot ticket. So obviously we're going to talk about him more than the other government officials.
Yeah, but what's your point?
And he's the president, so.
So your point is he should play it differently now. Listen, he got elected president of the United States by behaving this way, and he's going to continue to do it. And if he has to look you in the eye and say, nah, you're lying, when you know you're telling the truth, that's the way the guy is. Hey, David, thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much. All right. We are going to take a call from Martha in Gansford. Okay, Martha, your turn. Go ahead.
Hello. I was very upset the other day when Trump just issued a memorandum to stop the federal rule that would ban the cruel practice of soaring Tennessee Walker horses and to make them lift their legs higher, and it's called the Big Lick. But I sort of thought that, you know, there's a money trail because Senator McConnell has accepted $750,000 from those who want to continue this big lick. And he also told...
Wait. Martha, what is the big lick again?
It's a practice of soaring show horses, Tennessee Walker horses. It involves...
What do you mean soaring? What does it mean soaring?
It involves pads and chains put on their... just above the hoof to make them lift their leg unnaturally high a horse show.
Okay, because we're running
it's
up
very painful.
Okay, we're running up against a compulsory sort of break here. But very quickly, then, what does this have to do with the press now?
Well, I was trying to contact the White House, but the phone lines are not operating
yet,
so you
not.
Can't call them.
No, apparently not. And now they have this automated, robotized answering system because you don't get a person. But I've been hearing that all day long. Yeah, but this is a show about how the press is played.
Right.
So that's interesting. And you made a relationship between the president and the senator. What was that?
Yes.
And what was that now?
Well, he has accepted $750,000 from those people who want to continue this big lick.
Yeah.
And he also toasted Trump at the inauguration. So obviously he must have had an effect.
Well, Trump also appointed his wife to be the labor secretary. So
yes.
There's a relationship. Martha, great call. We have a break. Thank you very
much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Support for WAMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, Troy, and Boston Spa, offering freshly baked quiche with a variety of herbs and spices, including vegetarian offerings, thewhistlingkettle.com. George Heigl Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses, 518-396-7974. Coldham & Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com. Interactive Media Consultants, LLC, celebrating 20 years, providing websites, branding, social media, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond, imediaconsult.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
And we are back, and thank you very much for being with us on the Vox Pop today with Morgan Hook, who's an expert on how all of this works. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Ralph in Western Massachusetts. All right, Ralph, you're on.
Oh, boy, that's me, huh?
That's you, I think.
All right, thank you for taking my call. I want to say that after an entire campaign of listening to candidate Trump being incredibly embarrassingly poorly spoken, he and his press secretary finally got something right here. When Spicer said, when Spicer was talking about the crowd size, he didn't say, we're looking at a different set of facts, or we disagree that those are the facts. He said, this administration sometimes will disagree with the facts. Now, the facts are the facts. So if you disagree with the facts, you're wrong.
Not according to Kellyanne Conway and not according to Spicer. They're now dealing in what they call alternative facts. Alternative facts.
Yeah, well, that anyone who's ever read George Orwell should have a knot in their stomach listening to that kind of talk.
You bet.
Okay, that's all
I have
for you.
Morgan may want to say something to you.
I think a lot of this responsibility actually falls on the media. I look at, so for instance, there's this big stir. Everyone watched the clip from Meet the Press of Kellyanne Conway saying alternate facts. And my question is not, oh my gosh, how can, Kellyanne Conway go on and say that stuff? My question when I see a clip like that is, why is it that NBC continues to have Kellyanne Conway on the show to begin with? We know that she's going to go on there. She's going to lie. She's not going to answer questions. And that's what she did. You watch that clip. It's infuriating.
Well, Morgan, she's the press person for the president of the United States.
Correct.
And he is her client, as you've pointed out.
Yes, correct. But as a news organization, you are not required to put that person on the air.
Yeah, and it's a big, as we call it in the game, it's a big get.
It is a big get, and that's why she continues to get on, because it's about ratings and it's not about journalism. So if you wanted it to be about journalism and holding the administration accountable, you don't put Kellyanne Conway anymore. You say to the Trump administration, you know what? We're not putting her on anymore. If you want a voice, if you want to answer this, we're going to have Chuck Schumer on this weekend. We're going to have whoever else on. And we're offering a spot for you, but it's not going to be Kellyanne Conway. It can be Donald Trump. He can come on. And then you go on the air and say, we offered Donald Trump to come on, and he said no.
But he'll do the same thing. He'll lie also.
But then he's the president, and that's the difference. Well, Kellyanne Conway is a mouthpiece for the president, and she is not bringing anything journalistically to the table for Meet the Press, other than eyeballs and clicks.
Okay, well, eyeballs and clicks is unfortunately the name of the game. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ralph.
I also noticed that NPR, starting in the last few days, but particularly today, has been saying the Trump administration falsely claimed
Well, they're following the New York Times and the Washington Post. The Washington Post and the New York Times are saying it daily now on crowd size and stuff. But I must say, I'm not terribly impressed with the way that NPR has been conducting itself lately. I think, you follow the money. And I don't think, they're being as tough on the Trump people as they could be. But anyway, Ralph,
I think they're changing their stance just a bit here. So that's a good thing.
Well, we'll see.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Tracy in Rotterdam. They all went down to Rotterdam. Okay, Tracy, you're on.
Yes. Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So Teresa and Rosemary have made the point that it's always a great idea to tune in to different points of view. And it just so happened that I caught a little bit of Rush Limbaugh's show yesterday, and Morgan just said again that if it's all about ratings, then that's what drives his commentary, and I understand that. But the point I'm making is the Democrats don't have a Rush Limbaugh, and that's a good thing. But what he allows or what he does is, I was listening to his comments about the press, and he is willing to, call them clowns, call them idiots. He'll allow a little bit of the press conference to go on, and then he jumps in with his commentary. And so it's just on every different level, from the president to the cabinet, then to the different media outlets that support them. They all use the same very sort of derogatory language, and so my point is that it just reinforces that the media are idiots, that they are not to be believed. And I wish, because so many people don't fact check, I wish there was somebody on the Democratic side. Elizabeth Warren comes to mind a little bit. Bernie Sanders comes to mind. But even when they're really letting loose, they're still being thoughtful in their comments. They're not being insulting.
Okay.
Obama says, go high.
Okay, Tracy, let's let Morgan in on this now. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I think
your point's exactly right. There is no equivalent to Rush Limbaugh, but it actually goes a lot further than that. It's not just Rush Limbaugh. It's Rush Limbaugh. It's Sean Hannity. It's Fox News. There is an entire network. And I don't literally mean the Fox network. I mean, there's an entire industry that is conservative media. And it's a huge amount of radio audiences that have big, big numbers. That's all across your AM dial, all across the country. It's a huge amount of websites. And they are all out there, for-profit industries that are being driven by what's going to get, again, clicks and eyeballs.
Yes, but to the point that is being raised by Tracy, how come the Democrats don't have somebody? Let me just say one thing. When Mario Cuomo left the governorship, he was made a major offer. I think it was ABC or CBS. I forget which. He was going to be their answer to Rush Limbaugh. And it was terrible. He'd go on and people would say to him, call him up and say, you were a terrible governor and you didn't put enough people in prison and you didn't do this or that. So it was almost as if it's a false equivalency.
Yeah, I agree completely.
To say that a Democrat could do that work.
There's no market for it. Conservatives will say
that.
Is that NPR and the New York Times and the Washington Post, that's your equivalent to Breitbart and to Fox News. They're wrong. Those are mainstream media outlets that have journalistic standards.
Well, we have Herb London on. We have Rich on the panel when we can get him. We do not just do one side of this thing. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now we're going to go to Ken in Catskill. All right, Ken in Catskill, you're on.
Okay, thank you so much. When you're constrained by the truth, your weapons are limited. When you're talking about Fox and company, they really don't even care if the truth figures into an issue. That said, I just was curious about the limits of non-disclosure agreements and wondering if your guest had any idea of the extent and number of the non-disclosure and agreements that surround our present trip.
And when you say non-disclosure, you mean what?
Well, I'm assuming that Trump's ex-wives are bound by non-disclosure agreements, meaning they can't comment on anything. I wouldn't be surprised if his children are subject to the same things, people he has worked with. In other words, if I said something scandalous about you I had signed a non-disclosure agreement, I'm sued, I go to court, I maybe go broke.
Typically what those non-disclosure agreements have is, I think I've read about this, I have no knowledge of any of these things, but one of the things I read was that one of or Trump's ex-wives, part of the settlement that they reached when they got a divorce was that there would be a non-disclosure agreement where they wouldn't talk about certain things. Otherwise, if they violated that agreement, they would lose their alimony or they would lose the whatever payments they got an agreement with Donald Trump when they got divorced. There's no way we could know. I mean, that's part of the non-disclosure agreement, right?
If I may jump in, is it possible that this president has, unlike other presidents, asked people to sign non-disclosure agreements, including Mr. Spicer, for example?
Well, I suppose, Ken, anything is possible. It's just that we don't know about them, so it would be foolish of us to say anything except it's possible. You raise an interesting point.
Okay. Well, Ken, then thank you, gentlemen.
And thank you, Ken. 1-800-348-2551. Phones are loaded. We're looking forward to hearing from you. We'll take all the calls we can as we can. All right. So now we're going to go to Paul in New Paltz. All right. Paul in New Paltz. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello, this is Paul. I have a question about what Abraham Lincoln said. I believe it was him. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. Is that the correct quote?
Well, it certainly is a quote that we all know. With my diminishing memory.
And the other
memory,
question is, what do you think will, who or what will help us get the truth from the present administration? How is that possible?
So let me modify that quote a little bit. I think that Donald Trump needs to fool certain people all of the time. And the certain people that he needs to fool are Republican primary voters in safe congressional districts, safe Republican congressional districts. Because right now, he is more popular with those voters than the members of Congress who are sitting there. So let's take, for example, in New York State, Chris Collins. Chris Collins is a vocal advocate for Donald Trump, is the first member of Congress to endorse Donald Trump. He's in a very safe Republican district. No Democrat's going to beat Chris Collins anytime soon. Now, once Chris Collins is never going to come out and speak out against Donald Trump. But if at some point, because right now, I bet you if you took a poll in his district, Donald Trump is more popular than Chris Collins. So it's political suicide for him to go out against Donald Trump. But if at some point there comes a time because, I don't know, gas prices go up, jobs leave, the economy, people start to feel it in their pocketbooks. If that time comes when Donald Trump's popularity in those districts start to hurt those members of Congress, that is when you might see people, members of Congress, pushing back. That's Donald Trump's firewall right now, is he has no pushback. He has no checks and balances coming from Congress. And Congress has a bunch of gerrymandered districts all over the country. More people vote for Democrats in Congress for the last couple of elections than they vote for Republicans. And yet Republicans maintain this huge majority because of gerrymandered districts. So until that majority is somehow threatened and there's a chance that some of these members could be kicked out of office, Donald Trump will continue to hold the power over those over that check against his administration.
You know, I've been saying this from the beginning. Now, the other day he was getting down to the 30s, I believe. Today he's up at 45, according to Gallup. And Gallup, by the way, I have to say, is a poll I do not trust. I think it tends to tilt Republican. But he's up to 45%. If he keeps going up, you're right. Then the Chris Collins and the other guys, they're going to be there. But when it's them or him, it'll be them as opposed to him.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the only hope we can give you on this. Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it. All right. So it's 1-800-348-2551. I'm give you the times that people have been waiting. Amazing. Okay. We'll go to Paul in Kinderhook, who's been waiting for 14 minutes. All right. Paul, thank you for your patience. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I just wanted to give a shout to your guest about how does the public end up putting pressure on these people? The media.
Could you speak up, please?
As good a job as they. Say it again, please.
Yeah, could you speak up? That's fine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, how does the media is doing a great job, so how do people put pressure on the candidates? We've got a problem with, you know, you have 6 million people marching worldwide to try and keep a woman's right to a free and safe abortion, and the next day, here's Trump, you know, making that even harder worldwide.
I think it still matters when you actually call your members of Congress. It matters when you call your elected officials.
When you were a spokesman, is that what caught the ball moving the most? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, clearly marching in the streets, which I would have thought would be more important when you show the numbers, that didn't seem to just make him more entrenched.
Well, don't be so sure, because I can guarantee you that members of Congress and elected officials all across this country, they saw what happened over the weekend. There is no question that they are well aware that that's what happened. And they know that a lot of those people are their constituents, and it does make a difference. What makes a difference, if you're an elected official, I'm sorry if I have a cynical point of view about this, but I believe that the number one goal of most elected officials is to get reelected. And that's what's foremost on their mind. And so they take political calculations as they come on whatever issue might be before them. And when they get a lot of calls, they don't know who's calling. They don't know if a Democrat is calling them. They don't know if a Republican. They don't know if this person is a regular voter. What they know is that their office suddenly got flooded with calls and letters. It does make a difference. And people should know that, and they should, as often as possible, if they feel compelled to do so, contact their elected officials, because it is heard when you do that.
Let me second that, Morgan.
We got the impression that Obama actually read his letters, though. Do you think that Trump is reading his?
Well, Obama didn't read 2 million letters every day, I'll tell you right now. But he did. But he was aware of it. I've worked in the state Senate. I can remember because I used to open the mail at sometimes, and there were five letters, and I heard senators saying, "They're killing me." So they're very sensitive to that. Also, you see, in a marginal district, you see, Morgan was quite right. In a safe district, you can do whatever the hell you want. But in a marginal district, John Faso now, or Chris Gibson before him, when it came out to defunding public radio, Chris Gibson said, "No, you can't do that." So I do think
we'll be sure to call John about that one down here.
I think those are some of the considerations. Paul, I hope you don't mind, but we got a lot of people lined up behind you. Appreciate
you. You go.
Bye. All right, and waiting now for 11 minutes and 12 seconds is Robert in Ashokan. Okay, Robert in Ashokan. Go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
So your guest was talking about the right-wing Koch brothers enterprise, kind of by euphemism, and there was a book called Dark Money that I read in the spring. That's all about the impact of what he was talking about.
Yep.
And I also, over the summer, read a book that was a very well-vetted analysis, like British intelligence or British journalists, that was about Russia and Putin. And the end result was an estimate of Putin stashing $200 billion because, you know, the government has essentially taken over the economy personally. And, you know, that quote by, was it Don Jr. 8 years ago about all the Russian money flooding into the Trump organization? I mean, this is ridiculous here. You got to follow the money. I mean, this man has, you know, lied about his taxes one way or the other.
Okay,
you
but whoa. Now, but what about...
You know, follow the money.
Okay, but what about what we're talking about right now? What about what we're talking about right now? Which
well,
is,
the Times. You've been talking about the Times. You know, yeah. I listened to you, Alan. I was down on Central Park West on Thursday, and
we
I was
there
there
together.
All day.
Yeah,
and I read, a, you know, whatever, Facebook, whatever. But, you know, I listen. I'm reading the Times. I actually, you know, a month or two ago just decided I had to go digital and stop buying the Sunday paper.
Right.
And so I click and I see more in the New York Times. You know, it's a comprehensive, it can take you all day to read it. And so you need strong journalism. You know, I'll watch MSNBC and I'll, you know, I mean that Kellyanne Conway, I had a jacket like that when I was a long-haired anti-war protester in 68 in Stamford, Connecticut. It was a red band jacket with a white lining and it would flash over and have epaulets. It's like what she wore at the inauguration.
Yeah, but
these people are absolute clowns.
Okay,
you know, what is that? Who, Matt Taibbi was on last night with The Daily Show. What did he call it? The clown president?
Okay, but wait,
no,
wait.
I just,
okay,
you know,
we can
the
rant.
Media is doing
Robert,
what they
Robert,
can.
Robert, hold on a second. We can do this all we want, and we can yell about Trump all we want, but the subject is, you know, the press and how they're manipulated and how they're handled. And I think what the thing that you can see in this case is that the New York Times didn't hold back during this election. The Washington Post didn't hold back during this election. They're both now calling Trump in their news columns a liar.
I know. Well, we went through this with George W. Bush, too. The media did what they could. John Stewart did what they could. People don't listen.
Nothing like this. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think the media is learning on the job, right? Because, like I said before,
it's a brand new thing.
Donald Trump and his administration and the people that they send out there, they are operating on a completely different set of rules than anyone that the media has ever. The whole structure of government and dealing with political reporters and government reporters, the whole structure is based on sort of these unwritten rules that everyone sort of follows, Republican or Democratic administrations. Here in New York, they follow them when you're in the governor's office.
You're talking about the law.
No, I'm not talking about the law.
He's talking about practice.
Let me cite another example that I think some of your listeners might identify with. I'm sure that there are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who are among your listeners.
Indeed.
And the Bernie Sanders supporters, when the email leaks were going out during the campaign, they were saying, oh, it's rigged, and look at how the Clinton press people are talking to the members of the press. I got news for you. I didn't see anything in those emails that were leaked that I haven't written myself or seen from other reporters. And I'll tell you, if the Bernie Sanders campaign wasn't writing and doing the exact same thing as the Hillary campaign, then they didn't deserve to win because they weren't very good at their jobs.
Interesting.
That's part of the exchange between a campaign or a government spokesperson and members of the media. Here's what I'm saying, though. I guarantee you it's completely different for Donald Trump. Those kinds of conversations, which are based on mutual trust, does not exist with the Trump administration.
Okay, Robert, thank you. And Zach, we have to take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Capital Roots, working to help people in the Capital Region access healthy, affordable, and local food, grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for information on how to support. The Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, public relations services for print, electronic, and digital media. Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, news development, interview prep. We put you in the news. HSMediaMarketing.com. Curtis Lumber, announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Merrillette and quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. And New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts, offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment, Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts, online at nehydro.com.
And we're back. We don't have a lot of time, but we do go according to how long you've been waiting, and we're going to go to Tim in Warnerville. All right, Tim has been waiting for a long time, 16 minutes. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. I was kind of wondering, given all the comments about the lying press and all the other things that that Trump and Bannon and other people have talked about, do you think there's any possibility that this is actually a deliberate tactic to provoke the Times and the Post into calling him a liar and making him look like a victim, that he never had a chance, that they jumped on him too quickly? And part two of that would be, do you think the Republicans in Congress are going to be able to go along with that, or do you think that'll scare them too much?
Okay, Morgan Hook.
I think it's absolutely an effort to generally undermine the credibility of the sort of mainstream media. It is also this idea. Those of us in New York politics are very familiar with Roger Stone, and Roger Stone.
Indeed.
Yes, and he is an advisor to Donald Trump.
It's unbelievable.
And Donald Roger Stone's sort of philosophy on this is: if you've got bad press coming, just create a big dust pile, just create a big just noise as much as you can, so that people watching or the sort of the general public who are paying attention to this or sort of half paying attention to it, they don't know what's going on, because you just create such a mess. And you got Kellyanne Conway saying you guys are liars and the media saying no, you are liars. And people who aren't paying that close attention, regular people who are going about their lives, voters go, ugh, pox on all their houses. All of this disgusts me. But you know what?
And at the same time, they're doing all of that. Trump, the magician, is saying, okay, let's have pipelines all over the United States. Okay, listen, thank you very much. Okay, that's Tim. Now, waiting for 13 minutes and 24 seconds is Brian in Pottown. Brian in Poughkeepsie, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, it occurs to me that an awful lot of people in this country don't function reasonably. They function emotionally. The Republicans discovered that a long, long time ago, and they exploited it. Democrats deal reasonably with people intellectually. They're at a disadvantage. They don't really know who they're talking to in this country, and they don't know how to talk to them.
Well, what are you really saying here? I mean, are you really saying
what I'm really saying is facts. Facts are not going to drive many people.
Okay. So what is?
Emotions. Emotions. People are emotional as well as intellectual. Unfortunately, an awful lot of them are primarily emotional, and the Republicans know that. Rush Limbaugh, that whole crew, that's emotions. Donald Trump, emotions.
Okay, Morgan.
From the gut.
Okay, Morgan.
I will actually disagree with the caller a little bit here.
I encourage that.
I think that in campaigns, when you're running campaigns, which I do at this point in my career, you're trying to appeal to people's emotions no matter what side of the aisle you're on, because you want to try to make a connection. You want your candidate. This is why we create the TV ads that we do. This is why, you put them on certain kinds of interviews and have them do certain kinds of press, because you want the voting public to feel a connection with the candidate that you're working for. In the context of this conversation, we're talking about sort of this flagrant lying to the press. I'm not talking about that. So I think that both parties absolutely are trying to make a personal connection with voters. And it's pretty clear when you hear from Trump supporters what they liked about him. they'll say things that are like, oh, he shoots from the hip, or he's yeah. honest, or he's just says what's on his mind.
Says what he thinks.
I think that
from the gut.
What they're really saying is, I made a connection with him. He doesn't sound like a typical politician, and I like that. I wanted something different. That's what they're actually saying when they're talking about the reasons why they support him.
Brian, an interesting point. Thank you. Okay, we're moving along here because we have to. We'll go to Lewis from Woodstock and, I believe, 96th Street. Go ahead, Lewis. You're on.
96th Street all the way. Listen, there is a man, speaking about this limbo, on the other side, there is a man named Tom, and I can't remember his last name, from the California, and he's on WBAI, and he's also on our Woodstock station, which is 104.1.
Okay, Lewis, we got to move along, yeah, go ahead.
His name is Tom, and he's on for hours every day, and he seems to be on the other side. On our side. So does anybody know his name?
Nope.
But I think that's the point, is we don't even know his name. We've got. I can name a dozen conservative talk show hosts who have literally millions of listeners every day
right. All
over this country. And we've come up with one example, some guy named Tom, and we don't know his last name, and he might be on the radio.
Thank you, Lewis. Back to 96th Street. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we'll go to Patty, who's been waiting for 10 minutes. All right, Patty, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I was horrified listening to Donald Trump's inauguration speech, and I believe that he was showing to everyone the bleak, pathetic darkness of his own soul. The media said he was speaking to his base, but I don't believe it had anything to do with his base. People who voted for Trump don't believe that their lives are pathetic, without education, a graveyard of broken dreams. No one wants to think that about themselves. Everybody wants hope. He was not only insulting the people behind him on the dais, he was insulting the people in the crowd.
Yes, Patty, but Patty, his yes. numbers are going up. They're not going down, they're going up.
Only for a moment. They will realize. I actually was hopeful. I saw their faces when the camera panned the crowd. They were confused by what he was saying. I have hope that in time they are going to see the emperor's new clothes. I really do.
Could be. Okay, Patty.
I think it has to happen.
We'll go to Morgan. Go ahead, Morgan.
I think his numbers are probably going to go up. I think the fact that you now see pictures of him sitting in the Oval Office, you saw there was video of him standing at the podium being sworn in, that gives him a bit of a halo effect. He becomes presidential.
He's going to continue to be, ridiculous. He's going to continue. People are going to see that.
Well, but so I want to answer to...
Whoa, Patty, we have a guest here.
I want to answer one of your points, Patty, and that is that he was talking to his supporters. His supporters heard the things he was saying, and they didn't think, oh, he's talking about me in my hometown. They thought he was talking about some other hometown in America, which they agree with him and say, yeah, that place really needs to be fixed, and he's the man to fix it.
But he was talking about
that. Okay, well, we know your views on this, Patty. Thanks for sharing.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah, bye. All right. Now let's see. We can go to 11 minutes and 25 seconds for Fran. All right, Fran, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, I think it's a given at this point that Trump and his administration are going to lie to us all the time and play these games all the time. But the thing that we have to think about is there are his supporters now believe there's no such thing as truth. So how do we communicate to them before the next election that there is in fact such a thing as truth, that all of the media is...
Okay, I want to interrupt only because we have so many people on the line and I want to give everybody a chance if we can. But the answer to that is with the courage that is being shown by the New York Times, the Washington Post right now, and the Daily News of all things. When I was a kid, we used to make fun of the Daily News because it was such a right-wing institution. Now it's leading the pack. And they call him a liar. They hold him up.
But the New York Times is not talking to the people who are the Trump supporters.
And the Daily News?
My mother stopped her subscription because they went so left.
So
they're not talking. These people are not talking to his supporters.
Okay, Morgan.
I agree with what you say. Yeah.
These outlets, so I think that they think that the truth is whatever comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. But I also believe that we've been talking a little bit about some of the very conservative media outlets that are out there. Those conservative media outlets, they're not supportive of a particular candidate or a particular policy. They're supportive of whatever's going to get them listeners and get them advertising dollars.
Without question.
And if at some point Donald Trump crosses them in a way that will hurt their bottom line, they will turn on Donald Trump in immediate.
So, for example, what could he do to turn them off? Right now, somebody called earlier and said you shouldn't have Kellyanne Conway on and the rest.
I think I said that.
But of course you should. I mean, they know, and you said it, that they're going to get the clicks, they're going to get the people tuning in, and that's the bottom line for them.
So what changes it? Let's say gas prices go back up to being $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
That's going to change it because that'll make people mad. And that's something that they're going to feel every day when they go to the gas pump, regardless of whether Breitbart and Fox News are telling them that it's not true. When they put their credit card into the gas pump, they know they're paying $5 a gallon.
Right, you are. Okay, let's go to Steve in Saugerties. Steve in Saugerties, you're on.
Hey, Morgan. Hey, Dr. Chartok. It's Steve. As somebody who was down in D.C. and got knocked out by the anarchists crew while he was photographing an otherwise peaceful demonstration, I've got a question for you. He's signing executive orders, which from my understanding mean that he bypasses Congress and all the folks on the Hill that are we the people. And yet his inaugural speech said that he was for the people. That's both my question and my concern. Is that the truth, that this no longer goes right to the Supreme Court as a law?
Well, no, it's an interesting question. Of course, there's no bigger user of executive administrations than the past president, who really did do a lot of that. And I don't think we've got federal courts. By the way, there was a piece in the paper today that he's going to appoint a Supreme Court justice this week. Of course, Chuck Schumer said nothing doing. We'll have to see who they come up with. If he's smart, he does somebody who does a balancing act. But I don't know what else to tell you. Morgan?
To the victor go the spoils. Donald Trump won the election. And there is a lot of power. In New York, by the way, there's a lot of power with the executive. And in federal government, there's a lot of power with the executive.
Sure.
And this is the power of the executive. They're allowed to do things that deal with running the government that don't have to go through Congress. I will point out, though, that there is another part of government. It's called the courts. And as Barack Obama found out the hard way, the courts can throw out some of your executive action. They threw out and stopped him from implementing some of his immigration executive actions. So you can't just unilaterally do whatever you want with executive action.
Morgan, but those throwing outs are because of legal grounds, not because of we the people have spoken and written letters and called and all of that, correct?
Well, yeah, true. So if your point is, he got up and during his speech, he said he would appeal to the people, and now he's going past the people. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that.
Okay, listen, we're trying to get one more in, and then that'll have to be it. And for 13 minutes and 54 seconds, RJ in Albany. RJ, you got to make it really quick, or I'm going to have to hang up. Go ahead.
Okay, there was a left-wing talk show host. His name was Ed Schultz. And there was some station out in Buffalo that used to have a left-wing format. And the emotional issue that Donald Trump could be got on is he's like a puppet of foreign powers. And if things go bad, people could really feel emotionally about that.
Well, that's true. That is true. I really agree with that. I think I've been saying all along that the one thing that could kill him, the one thing that could get him impeached is if one of the guys on the way out from the intelligence community who hasn't spoken up now says, this is what we know about Putin and his relationship with Trump. A very interesting point. Anyway, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank Morgan Hook for joining us today. You were terrific, Morgan, and I hope you'll come back more often. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Nahenyan Bakery Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyanbakery.com. And Grapes and Grains, Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapes and grains, wine.com. And the Lathrop Community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. He was Morgan Hook. Stay tuned now for a news update.